Good morning. I'm Vicki Logan, and I'll be serving as your liturgist this morning. Please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. Is someone here moving toward the twilight of life and fearful of that which we call death? Why be afraid? God is able. Is someone here on the brink of despair because of the death of a loved one, the breakup of a marriage, or the waywardness of a child? Why despair? God is able to give us the power to endure that which cannot be changed. Is someone here anxious because of bad health? Why be anxious? Come what may, God is able. Surely, God is able. Our hymn of praise this morning is a good old favorite, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's number 526 in your hymnal. Please remain standing and join me as we go to the Father in prayer. Father in heaven, in your goodness, you pour out on your people all that they need and satisfy those who persist in prayer. Make us bold in asking, thankful in receiving, tireless in seeking, and joyful in finding, that we may always proclaim your coming kingdom and do your will on earth as in heaven. Amen. Please be seated.
Let us enter into a spirit of prayer. God, our holy and gracious parent, we give you thanks for calling us into your house today to worship you and to give you praise and honor and glory. Today we lift up our church. We pray for, especially in these moments, for our confirmation class as they prepare to make the vows that were made in their baptism their own, and for others who prepare to receive the sacrament of baptism. God, we pray also that you will help us in the coming weeks to renew our own vows of membership, that we might serve you more faithfully through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God, we pray also for the world. We are brokenhearted by the violence of war, by the heartbreak of death and destruction, of illness. And so we lift up the world and its leaders. We pray for President Biden, for Congress, for the Supreme Court, for our local and state representatives. And God, we also pray for those who are sick, those who are grieving, and those who are dying. Today we lift up to your care those members of our Asbury family who are ill or in special need. We pray for Clifford Smith and June Glazier, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, Patty Shoemaker, Joyce Dennis, Earl Ann Foss, and Jean Hammett, as well as others whom we name before you in our hearts. Lord, finally, we pray for ourselves. You know our faults and our failures, and you are the source of all of our successes. And so we give you thanks for all of your blessings, and we pray that you will continue to bless us, that we might be a blessing to others. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In our scripture readings today, we will see a pattern of prayer in Jesus' life and how when his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, that he was more than happy to share with that. We believe and trust and have faith in a very generous God. And because we're created in God's image, God invites us to be generous as well. We were created for that. And one way that we do that is through giving God's tithes and our offerings to support God's ministries in our church family and in our world. There are several ways you can do that. If you're here in the sanctuary today, we'll pass the plate in just a moment. If you're joining us online, there are online options as well. And you can you may scan the QR code on your screen, and it will share those options with you through texting or through our website. But let's begin with a word of prayer. God, we do thank you, for we know that all that we have and all that we are is truly a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And so now we pray that you will bless these gifts, which we return to you out of our love for you, in the hope that you will use them to grow your kingdom in Little Rock and far beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name, and the people of God said, Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. It's time now for all of our children to come forward and meet down front with Brother Greg Stansel for children's.
Well, good morning. How are y'all this morning? Good. Well, today you get to play a game up here. And you out in the pews can play along with us. And if you're online, if you want to play along with us, you can play too. We're going to do a little follow the leader, okay? So I'm going to do some gestures, and I need to see if you can copy them, okay? All right, first off, here's our first one. I want you to hold your hands like this. Oh, great job, great job. Okay, now hold your hands up like this. Wow, good job. All right, now, here comes the fun part. All right, you see that rose right up there, that stained glass window? And everybody back there can see the one up here. All right, I need you to stand up. Everybody stand up. And I want you to look up at that window. Very good, you can sit back down now. Okay, everybody put their hands together like this. Great job. Okay, now put your hands together like this. Very good. All right, I got a question. Can anybody tell me what those gestures may be?
Praying.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely, she's genius. All right. The thing about it is, we all have these gestures that we do when we pray. Do you have a friend? You got friends. We all got friends. There's always people that we need to talk to. It may be our best friend. It may be our grandparents. It may be a teacher. Somebody you really can talk to, even when it's tough. God is that person who is always, always, always with you, and you can talk to anytime. Isn't that right? All right. Well, you know, God also doesn't really care what you look like when you pray. He just wants to hear from you. You're his friend. So, if you're going to have God as your friend, it doesn't matter if you pray like this or if you look up at a beautiful stained glass window like that. But sometimes it helps to have a way to focus. So we get habits. All right, can we all pray together? All right. Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being our friend. We thank you for listening to us anytime. Anywhere we need you. Lord, we know you're always with us. You're our shield. You're someone we can talk to. You're our help. Please be with all of us and let us remember that always. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Would you please stand in reverence for the reading of God's holy word? Our scripture this morning comes from two gospels, the gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 35 through 38, and the gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. From Mark. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." He replied, "Let's head in the other direction to the nearby villages so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come." And from the book of Luke, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation.' This is the word of God for the people of God." Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you, Vicki. Today we're kicking off a brand new worship series called Renew. And as I said earlier, between now and Confirmation Sunday, we're going to consider the vows that we make when we become a United Methodist, when we join a United Methodist congregation. Then on May 22nd, our confirmands are going to take those vows for themselves. And during that service, we'll all have an opportunity to renew the vows that we made when we became a part of the Asbury Church family. Today we're talking about the vow we made to support the church with our prayers, and next Sunday we'll talk about supporting the church through our presence. Let's go to God in prayer. Good and gracious God, we thank you for being with us wherever we are gathered today, and we pray that you will pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Story goes that this guy was running late for a meeting, and he gets to the parking lot, and of course it's full, and he drives and drives and drives around and around, cannot find a space. And so he decides to do the last thing. He decides to pray and make a vow. He says, "Lord, have pity on me. If you find me a parking space, I promise, I vow, I will go to church every Sunday the rest of my life, and I'll even quit drinking." Well, all of a sudden, the clouds split apart and a parking space appeared right in front of him. And he said, "Oh, never mind, God, I found one." You know, it's so easy to forget the vows that we make. So easy to forget the vows that we make. And so over this series, we're going to remember the vows that we made when we became a member of the Asbury congregation or a United Methodist church. And at the same time, our confirmands are going to be learning about what it means to be a faithful member of the congregation. And they're praying about making those vows themselves. And so I want to invite you and encourage you to be in prayer for our confirmands during this season as well. And then, as I said a moment ago, we'll have an opportunity to renew our vows when they make theirs. So let's begin by asking the question, what comes to mind when you think of the word vow? You know, there's one word that I think of, and that is promise. So what is different between a promise and a vow? Well, in the Middle Ages, a vow meant a solemn promise that was made to a deity. And so that's why more often than not, we make vows in a church. So what vows have you made that bring order and meaning and purpose to your life? I mean, I know we have some young folks, and they may not have ever taken a vow before. So I think about my wedding vows. I think about my wedding vows. They give my life order and meaning. Michelle and I were married 20 years ago this June 8th at First United Methodist Church in Crossett, Arkansas. That's the church where we met, and actually my mentor, my friend, Reverend Larry Williams, is with us this morning, and I told him I didn't work this into the sermon because I knew they were coming, amen? But Larry Maryland actually heard me preach a 20-minute sermon in about 2.5 minutes. Yeah, you remember that, Maryland? So anyway, I'm so glad y'all are here. But anyway, Michelle and I left to go to graduate school, and we got engaged while we were out there, and we went back to First United Methodist Church in Crossett for our wedding. And I'll never forget, when I got to the part where I had to say, "Until we are parted by death," I got really choked up. I almost couldn't say the words. Almost couldn't get the words out. Those vows that I made 20 years ago still give my life order, still give my life meaning. There are some things that I do today because I made those vows. And there are some things that I don't do today because I made those vows. I also think about my ordination vows. I was ordained an elder in the United Methodist Church in 2005. And those vows give my life purpose and meaning and order as an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. On that day in 2005 in Russellville, I made vows about what I would do as an elder in the United Methodist Church. And because I made those vows, there are some things that I do, and there are some things that I don't do, some things that I can't do. Those vows give my life order and meaning and purpose. Now, the first time I ever made a vow was when I was 11 years old, and that was on Pentecost Sunday of 1982, and that was the day that I confirmed the vows that my parents made in my baptism at Wesley United Methodist Church in Pine Bluff. That was the day that I remembered and I had learned about those vows that were made when I was baptized as a baby, about a month into my existence. And I was prepared to make those vows my own. And so that was the day that I vowed to support the ministries of my local congregation through my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness. And those vows give my life order and meaning and purpose. I remember when I was a teenager and I didn't want to go to youth anymore. I was ready to quit. None of my friends went to youth group. My mom said, "Hammett, Evans, you have made a vow to support your church family with your presence. You get up and go to youth group tonight." My mom wouldn't let me renege on those vows. So those are our vows of membership, to support our church family through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and now our witness. And because of those vows, there are some things that we're supposed to do, and there are some things that we're not supposed to do. But they give our life as a congregation order and meaning and purpose. So the first vow that we make when we become a member of a United Methodist Church is to say, as a member of this congregation, I will faithfully participate in its ministries by my prayers. But how do we pray? You know, there are lots of different ways to pray. I prayed one during the pastoral prayer. That's what I like to call the Church World Six Saints prayer. You pray for the church, you pray for the world and its concerns, you pray for the sick, and then you pray for the saints, which includes hopefully us one day, God willing, and with God's work in our lives. That's one. I love silence, stillness, listening to what God has to offer in terms of guidance for what I preach or where what direction I'm going in for my life or where I'm leading our congregation. There's another one. There are so many different ways to pray. Our confirmands learned what's called the ACTS model of prayer. It's ACTS. And I know Clark Cogbill is watching online today, and he was actually their facilitator that day. So A is for adoration. We begin our prayer by adoring God, by commending God, for praising God for who God is. C is for confession. Then I admit the things that I have done and the things that I have left undone in my life because of sin. T is for thanksgiving. That's being grateful for the wonderful things, the blessings that God has given us in our life. And then S is for supplication. That's simply asking God to take care of you and your family, your friends, and even your enemies. So that's one way to pray, is the ACTS model. Another one is that even young children can learn, is called the five-finger prayer. If you pull up your hand and look at it, no matter how you turn it, your thumb is always the finger that's closest to you. And so your thumb reminds you to pray of those people who are closest to you, your family, your friends, your loved ones. And then most of us use our index finger to do what? To point. And so your index finger reminds you to pray for the people in your life who point you in the right direction. So it could be pastors or teachers or coaches or mentors or any others. tall man is the tallest of the fingers, and it reminds us to pray for our leaders, for our leaders. That could be, of course, our government officials, business leaders, but also people like our principals in our school, or perhaps even our boss at work. Who are the leaders in our life? Our ring finger is the weakest of our fingers, and it reminds us to pray for those who are weak, for those who are mourning, those who are grieving, those who are sick, those who are dying or hurting in some other way. And then finally, your pinky is your smallest finger, and it reminds us to pray for ourselves, the least of these, and to lift up our own cares and to ask God to provide for us and for those who are, those for our loved ones and others. It also reminds us to thank God for our blessings. So those are several ways to pray really quickly. There's so many, we don't really have time to go over them. But the question for today is also, how did Jesus pray? One of the things that we notice, and Vicki did such a good job reading our scripture readings earlier, in Mark chapter 1, one of the very first things Jesus does is go off by himself to pray. And in Mark's gospel, in Luke's gospel, Matthew's gospel, he has this pattern where he goes and engages actively in ministry and mission. He preaches, he teaches, he feeds people, he exorcises demons and does all that public stuff. But then he always goes away by himself afterward to pray. In fact, you could look at his wilderness experience as a time of preparation for active ministry by praying for 40 days by himself in the wilderness. So his disciples notice this pattern in Jesus' life of active engagement followed by active prayer. And so they asked him to teach them how to pray, just like John the Baptist had taught his disciples. And Jesus was very happy to do that for them, to teach them. And the prayer that he taught them is what we call the Lord's Prayer. We prayed a version of it earlier in the service. And that prayer that we use in worship today is really a mishmash. It's really a mixture of what of the version of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel. And then because we're kind of Protestant, we're not exactly Protestant, we're really Anglican on the Christian family tree. We're, you know, our mother church was the Church of England. But anyway, we're Protestant in the way that we use the Lord's Prayer. Protestants add that little bit at the end. For thine is the kingdom, what is it? The kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's not actually in the scriptural text, but Christians have been praying that addendum or that appendix for a very long time. So when we were learning about prayer in confirmation class, you know, my dad was my confirmation, he was my pastor growing up, and so he was leading us, and he told us that one way that we can pray is to pray through the Lord's Prayer, line by line, and reflect on the meaning of that particular phrase for your life today. And so I'll kind of lead us through that very quickly today. So our Father who art in heaven, God is our Father. And one of the things that you'll notice about the prayer is this is not a me-focused prayer. All of the pronouns in here are our and we. They're all plural. So God is our Father. God, that reminds me that God is my Father. I am God's beloved child. I don't always believe that. Other people don't always treat me that way. But the prayer reminds me that I am a part of God's family. I am God's beloved child. But it also reminds me that God is not only my Father, God is our Father. And my sense of our has grown over my lifetime. At first I thought it was, you know, basically my family, my friends, my church family, and people like that. But over time, that concept of what our is has simply grown and grown. God is the Father of every human being. God is the Father even of my enemies. And so when you pray the Lord's Prayer and someone is getting on your last nerve or somebody is out to get you, it reminds us that God is their Father too. They are God's beloved child. Who art in heaven? Heaven is the reality of God's presence on earth and throughout the cosmos and beyond. God sees the big picture of things. God sees far beyond what we can see. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy, and holy means different. And I think what Jesus is getting at is that God's name is not like your name or my name or any other person's name. We use other people's names in order to control them. Like when my mom used to say, Hammett, Nichols, Evans, you get in here right now and clean up your room. Or perhaps the most egregious example of that is when slave owners would change the names of the people that they owned to control them, to exert their power over them. So when we pray for God's name to be hallowed, we're saying that God cannot be controlled. Prayer isn't magic. It's not dictating your wishes or putting a quarter in a machine and getting something out. It's allowing God's name to be holy. Thy kingdom come. We're Christians, and sometimes it's hard to see this today, but Jesus is our ultimate ruler, not any political figure. And Jesus showed us that God's kingdom has all kinds of people in it, rich, poor, black, white, male, female, everything in between. There are no walls in God's kingdom. That's what Jesus taught. And because there are walls in the world that we see around us, when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're asking God, inviting God, to change the world around us. And we're also offering ourselves to be a part of those changes. That brings us to the next line. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we can be so loyal to our earthly rulers and political figures and kingdoms that we deny that our ultimate loyalty is to God and to God's kingdom alone. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that's my favorite part. We've gotten pretty far, pretty deep into this prayer, and finally we get to ask for something. But is it a brand new car or a bigger house or more money or more power? No. Our daily bread is simply what we need today to survive and to thrive. And again, that pronoun is plural, our daily bread. And so it also invites us to see what we have beyond our daily bread, what we need for today, and share what we have from our abundance so that all people may have their daily bread as well. The next line is probably the most difficult. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I mean, that's tough. When I was 11 years old and beginning to pray this every night, it made me start thinking and praying for that one kid that bullied me at school. He was so mean. But it also made me look, because my brother was sleeping in the bed beside me, in the twin bed beside me, it also made me think about how I treated my brother at home. You know, Jesus says that our forgiveness depends on our forgiving others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I mean, what are the things that tempt you? Invite God into your heart and release those temptations to deliver you from the evil that they will bring. So, Dad taught us that way of praying, the Lord's Prayer, when I was 11 in confirmation class, and I did that. I did it every night. You know, sometimes I'd fall asleep, I'll be honest. But I did that every night from the time I was 11 until I was out of college. And sometimes I still do that. Sometimes I will still pray that way. And after doing that for so many years, I have no idea the person that I would have been without that single prayer in my life. It has made such a difference in the way that I live, in the way that I treat others, in the way that I offer forgiveness, in the way that I seek to be forgiven. So I want to invite you to support your church family with your prayers. And that means I want you to pray. I want to invite you to pray for Brother Nick and for me, your pastors. I want you to do that every day, amen? Twice on Sundays. We need it. Pray for your church staff. They need it too. And your church lay leaders. Pray that we'll help our church, help Asbury be faithful to God and to God's calling in our community. Pray for the people in your Sunday school class and your small group. You know to do that. But also pray for the people that go to Asbury that you haven't met yet. And pray for those who have yet to come to Asbury but will. I invite you to pray for folks who are sick or grieving or dealing with hardship. Especially these days, I invite you to pray for the United Methodist Church in our state and in our world. Those are ways that we faithfully participate in Asbury's ministries by our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, amen. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for the gift of prayer. And sometimes it seems strange to us or foreign or something that you know, monks in a faraway monastery do or our pastors do. But prayer is simply having a conversation with you. Not only talking, but being silent and listening, seeking your guidance in our everyday lives. And so, God, we pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit, renew our commitment to supporting our church family through our prayers, so that we might lift others up and we might grow spiritually in faith and in truth. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, and the people of God said, amen. I invite you to stand now for our affirmation of faith. Today we will read the Canadian Creed, which may be found on page 883. It's also printed in your bulletin. Let us join together in this affirmation. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. To become a part of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to come forward and join us by professing your faith in Jesus Christ or by transferring from another church or denomination. Let us join together in singing number 496, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today, whether you're online or here in the sanctuary. We're so glad you were here. Next Sunday, we'll talk about renewing our vow to support our church family with our presence. And that's going to be really interesting because of COVID, amen? And people worshiping online more today. And so we'll talk about what that means more next Sunday. I do want to say thank you to Vicki. Thank you to the choir. Thank you to Diana for all of their assistance, as well as the AV folks back in the back. Let's give them a sign of our appreciation. And thanks again for joining us today. Would you please receive this blessing? Okay, I'm going to follow you out. Go forth with Christ, above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen.